Invite you this morning to turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and we're going to be in verses 10 through 17 this morning, working through the book of Ecclesiastes. Here we are finishing out chapter 8 today. But as you've been aware, the book of Ecclesiastes, as we've been seeing, has giving us an accurate, no-holding-back picture of life in this world. But in doing so, it's also teaching us how do we live in light of this world, this fallen world with all its crooks and bends and mysteries and questions and our lack of control, our lack of full knowledge of everything. How are we to live? And today we find that theme, of course, continue because we see how we are to live, knowing that the wicked often prosper and the righteous often don't. So let's read the passage to begin. Ecclesiastes 8, starting in verse 10. Then I saw the wicked buried. They used to go in and out of the holy place and were praised in the city where they had done such things. This also is vanity. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God because they fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, neither will he prolong his days like a shadow because he does not fear before God. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. And there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity, and I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful, for this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes see sleep, then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. However much man may toil in seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. Have you ever experienced a situation where what you saw didn't match what you knew to be true? A couple of months ago, I looked up into the evening sky and the moon looked extra huge. It looked massive. And I knew that the moon didn't actually grow in size. And yet, if someone looked at it, they would look like the moon grew. But of course, it didn't. Or maybe you have a situation where you know for certain someone is innocent of something. And yet, all of the evidence makes it look like they're guilty. That sort of situation can make you feel like, am I crazy? Like, I know that they're innocent, but it looks like, when you look at the evidence, it looks like he's guilty. And so situations like that cause us to second-guess ourselves. They're perplexing. They throw us off. They cause us to ask questions and to doubt, possibly. Well, the author of Ecclesiastes here deals with that very type of thing. What he sees doesn't match what he knew to be true. But the question is, how does he handle it? What does he do when that happens? Well, let's first see what he sees. Point number one. There are certain things that we see in this world. So here in these couple of verses, Solomon describes what he sees, and this is what we would see if only we open our eyes. And what he sees is essentially the wicked getting away, seemingly getting away with their wickedness. And so, of course, these are people who do not follow the Lord. These are not people who are trying to follow the Lord but failing. No, these are people against God, sinning against God, and do not care that they are. Sadly, though God is good, created people, gave them grace, there are still large amounts of people today who reject God and determine to live in sin. And so the author looks around and he sees wicked people. But that's not all. He sees them being honored. He says he saw the wicked buried. Now, when you first read that, you do, well, what? Okay, what, you know, what does that matter? But he's probably talking about how these people are honorably buried. Especially back in that day, a proper burial would show honor to the person who was being buried. And likewise, if they weren't properly buried, it was showing dishonor towards them. And so here are these people, these wicked people, and Solomon sees them being honored in their death. They're being lifted up, they're being praised as if they're honorable people. And this kind of thing can happen in modern day funerals as well, is a person could be a horrible person to every single person they met, but at their funeral, people act like they were the most innocent, good-hearted person in town, right? So it can even happen in our day. But something else that Solomon mentions is that they go in and out of the temple. And so it shows that these people acted like they were righteous. Here they are going in and out of the temple, out of the holy place. All the while, they're full of wickedness. They're wicked people. This is a picture of a big-time hypocrite. They made it look like they're godly. And they did the whole religious routine. But really, they're wicked. They're ungodly. And sadly, unfortunately, some of the most ungodly people can be people who go in and out of places of worship. They appear righteous, but they are not. They boldly enter the holy place full of wickedness and act like God won't do anything. But we see that they're honored, but also praised. And this reminds us that sometimes what people praise is what should not be praised. Some of the most sin-riddled people are lifted up and praised as if they were the righteous ones. The example of these wicked people praised is just another instance of our world praising what's evil as if it were good. And this should cause each of us to evaluate and consider, how much focus do I put on the praise of other people? Because what we see here is that the praise could be praising the wrong thing. What's most important is what God would commend. Because God is the determiner of what should be praised and what should not be praised. So any praise not in line with what God deems to be praised is misdirected praise. And so here are these wicked people. They're honored in death, they're praised by others, and this happens in our day as well. This is nothing new. Nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes told us. There are some who are so against God, and yet they are honored by the world. They're praised by the world as if they're living the life that you should live. In fact, verse 14 shows us many righteous people receive what the wicked deserve, but on the other hand, many wicked receive what the righteous deserve. And this is what we see. There's many times in our culture where Christians can be treated as scum, even though we're just seeking to do what God has called us to do, all the while many unbelievers are treated as great and deserving of such good things. And Solomon points out that really, it's because quick judgment hasn't come, and so they continue in their wickedness. Because the sentence against the evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. So since judgment doesn't come right away, they think, okay, I got off free, I can keep doing it, and they get worse and worse. Wicked people seemingly get away with their wickedness. With their wickedness, and they're even praised and honored. There's no fear of God in them. There's no regard for what is sacred and holy. And yet here they are receiving what a righteous person deserves. And so no wonder Solomon says, this is vanity. As he looks out at this, he said, this is vanity. It's like trying to grab the wind and expecting something, but you see nothing. It's you receive what you didn't expect. That's the image. And this can happen in life, because life can be like an enigma. What we see happen doesn't always align with what we expect to happen. what we think should happen. As you have looked around in life, have you ever seen someone wicked be praised? Well, you're just trying to follow the Lord and you're struggling. And you could think, what's with this? Maybe someone at the workplace is promoted and they're praised, even though they're just mean and nasty to everybody. And here are you. You're seeking to be kind to people and loving. You're doing hard work and you're overlooked. That's the type of thing that can happen. Maybe someone's bank account is bursting at the seams and they're experiencing all these amazing trips, even though they cheat others. And this happens all the while you see people following the Lord faithfully and they can barely pay the bills. Maybe there's someone who you know and they have sinned against others horribly. And yet they are praised by people. And the godly you see are treated with contempt. This is something common that Solomon saw and what we see in the world. It's hard to deal with. When we see these things with our eyes and we witness them, there's something in our heart that says, this is not right. This is not the way it should be. How are the wicked just getting away with their wickedness? How are they praised? And how are the godly just kind of pushed down and overlooked and not praised at all? And so there's things that we can see, but point number two, there are certain things that we should know and do. Have you ever judged a book by its cover? Maybe you looked at the cover of a book and it looked boring, but you cracked it open, started reading, and you were riveted. Or maybe it's someone else, and you, when you first met them, you sort of judged them by their appearance. But as time went on, you got to know them, and you realized, man, I was dead wrong. They're not like what I assumed they were like. Sometimes we put too much emphasis on what we can see, but the truth is you can't always trust what you see. Do you realize that? I can't always trust what I see. Consider how limited our sight is. We often see a partial picture instead of the full picture. We can only see the present, but we can't see the future. We don't have 20/20 vision when it comes to life. And so this is why we have to fall back upon what we know. What we know. Because God works sometimes in unseen ways. God works sometimes in mysterious, seemingly unimpressive ways. And so who are we to trust what we can only see? And that's why we have to cling to what has God said? What do I know? Verse 12 says, I love this verse. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it'll be well with those who fear God. Isn't that amazing? Solomon is saying, I saw the wicked prosper, but this I know. That's not going to be the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. Verse 13, it will not be well with the wicked. This is what I see, but this is what I know. All of the visual evidence was stacked up in front of him, and he smashes it with the mallet of truth. And this made the world of a difference for him, because instead of being ground down in despair by what he saw, he was lifted up in hope by what he knew to be true. And this is really a bold act of faith, because though all of the evidence appeared to be contrary to what he knew, he didn't let what he saw be the final answer. But the final answer was in God and God alone and his word. That's where the answer, that's where the truth, that's where the reality is for him. And so a prime help in our difficult circumstances isn't just, I need to see something different. It's, I need to believe what I know to be true. And so when you look around you and you feel so lonely and you feel like there is just no one, absolutely no one around me, and that's what you see, you can go back. What do I know? He said he would never leave me nor forsake me. You see the difference? This is what I see, but this is what I know. God has said this. When you look at your life and you feel like a failure and you feel like God could never love me anymore because look at what I've done, look at how I failed, look at how I sinned, and yet you remember, what do I know? What does Scripture say? Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. And when it looks like evil is prevailing, it looks like they aren't getting what they deserve. And you see the wicked prosper, the righteous suffer. You go back to the Lord has a day fixed for when he would judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. What you see isn't always what is going to be. Though he saw the wicked do more and more wickedness, he saw the wicked prolong their days and live these full lives, he knew it ultimately wouldn't be well with them. And the reason is they didn't fear God. And so if you do not fear God, it means you will not ultimately prolong your life. You will not live forever. Because how could Solomon do this? How could he see things that were so contrary to what he knew and yet fall upon what he knew? And it's because Solomon knew God. He knew his character. He knew God will not let wickedness go on forever. It may look like it's going on for a long time, but it will not forever. And so that meant no matter what he saw in the moment, God was not done. And what a important thing to always remember, right now is not the end of the story. God is not done. Do you believe that? This is not the end of the story. God is not done. There is a coming day when God will make all things right. The wicked will not be let go forever. They will, actually, the Bible shows that they will face judgment. But we who are the recipients of the grace of forgiveness, we experience eternal bliss. The key is the fear of the Lord. That's the difference. That's the difference between the result of the wicked and the result of the righteous, is the fear of the Lord. The wicked have no fear of God. That means they have no reverence for God, no respect for God, no awe of God. They reject him. They tarnish his name. But on the other hand, those who fear God have this healthy reverence and awe and respect for God as God. That you humbly put yourself before God, realizing who he is and who you are. And that's a healthy fear of the Lord. These are people who cling to God, who trust God, who revere him, who rest in him. They find refuge in him because they have seen who he is and what he has done, while those who do not fear God have pushed away from God. They have turned from God. And this is why you move over into the New Testament and we see that Christ now is the one that if you humbly trust in him, you have eternal life. You reject him, you do not. You stand under condemnation. The difference is, what do you do with Christ? Because he's a stone, but is he a stone you're built upon or is he a stone you stumble over? To think, though, that it can go eternally well with me based simply on my fear of the Lord is astounding. Because it doesn't say you have to do a certain amount of things, complete this step, then this step. I must fear the Lord, which is seen as someone humbly recognizing that I am deserving of judgment. But I am repenting of my sins, and I know that only in Christ and Christ alone do I have salvation. And so I may see the wicked prosper, I may see the righteous suffer right now, but I must trust what I know to be true. That if I have a right relationship with God through Christ, then it will be well with me forever. Do you believe that? If you have humbly trusted in Jesus Christ, it will be well with you. And not just right now, but forever. But the Bible is also very clear. You reject God. You spurn His grace. It will not be well with you. It will not be well with you. You have to know that. And so you have to realize there's grace available and there's only in Christ and it'll be well with you. You just have to trust in faith. But if you continue to reject Christ, if you continue to turn away from God and His grace, it will not be well with you. The Bible is showing us if that's you, you may live a long earthly life, but your life will not truly be prolonged, for you will face eternity in hell. And so knowing these things, what should we do? We should fear God. Don't join in the rebellion of others, but turn in faith to Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, if you do trust Christ, keep trusting Him, live for Him, knowing it's worth it. And so amidst all these injustices that we see, Solomon points us to something else, and he points us to joy. Verse 15, "And I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful." You see, Solomon knew that if you look at and see the righteous suffer and are put down in this world, the wicked are lifted up and praised and honored in this world. If you look at that long enough, you could be easily led to despair. You could easily be led to have no joy because you're constantly frustrated. Like, this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And so you're constantly frustrated. You're constantly angry. And you become bitter. Some people would say, what's the point? But Solomon is showing us, instead of letting that steal your joy, find joy in life. Don't let those things that you don't understand or don't control hinder your joy or steal your joy. Instead, look around you and still look at the simple, gracious blessings that God has given to you of food and drink and various things in life. And so I wonder, how much joy have we missed out on because we're so obsessed over the frustrations of life? That you're so focused on the wicked are getting away, they seem to be getting away with their stuff once again, and they're so praised, and we're so like put down. And if you're just constantly focused on that, you don't have time to look around and say, the Lord has blessed me with this. Look at my family. Look at the food I have. Look at the drink. Look at these blessings I have. You miss out on these simple blessings because you're still frustrated over all these enigmas and all these injustices and all these things. You miss out on the simple joys of life. And so he's saying, don't forget to have some joy along the way. And when we have joy, it now tags along with our toil. Because it used to be toil and just toil and toil, but now it's joy alongside toil. So find joy by cherishing and enjoying the gifts of God in the days of life that He has given to you. And so the truth is, you cannot make sense of why a godly person goes through something horrific, while maybe a wicked person seems to have it so easy and good in their life. You are not in control of that. Realize, I am not in control of that. God is. And so don't let these unknowns cause you to lose joy. Don't miss out on the simple, precious gifts of today. That God has called us to certain things. And we would do well to focus on those things. Focus on what you're called to do. Not on all the things that you can't control, on all the questions of life. Don't obsess over those, but be focused on what am I called to do? What do I know from God? And I need to trust that. And so that leads me right into verses 16 to 17, which show us that there are certain things that we cannot know You think about over the centuries, we have made, as mankind, we have made huge leaps of progress in our knowledge, right? In the medical world, we now know so much about DNA and bacteria and viruses. We can do open heart surgeries. Now they do like robots that do procedures and stuff inside your body and all of these different things that they can do. When it comes to the universe, we know more about black holes and gravity and atoms and all that. As a human race, we went from just walking and horse riding to now we're walking on the moon and we're riding in airplanes, right? And so this just amazing advances in knowledge. But the problem is that these advances in knowledge, these leaps that we have made in our knowledge, they make it so that we think that we can find the answer to anything if we just put in the effort. That is the modern day assumption of man, that anything is possible to find out if we just think hard enough, if we just try hard enough, that I can figure out anything in the world. Now, of course, you can find out a lot. Of course. But what does Solomon show us? If you know Solomon, he's the wisest person to have lived, and yet for him, he tells us there are things outside of my knowledge that I cannot grasp. And not just for him, but he says really outside of mankind's grasp. And he didn't try this half-hearted attempt, right? He didn't try a lackadaisical thing. He says, I applied my heart to this. He says, I sought to see the business that is done under the sun. He tried his best to see how everything worked in the universe. And what does he find? Verse 17. Then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. So he tried to find out the work of God, and his findings are this, that all of God's work is unable to be discerned by man. Meaning everything that God does is undiscerned. Now, there's things that we can discern, but not everything. That's his point. And so this means we cannot fathom everything God has done, is doing, or will do. We can't understand how everything works together. He says a wise man may claim that he does, but he doesn't. He hasn't figured everything out. And he's really showing us no amount of toil is going to answer every question you have. There's still going to be how questions. There's still going to be why questions of life. And so in our day, people think we can figure out anything we set our minds to. Well, Solomon is saying it's not true. It's not true. And so this lack of complete knowledge should fling us into the arms of God. Because since I can't know everything, I must trust God with everything. And so don't let your lack of understanding be cause you to become angry at God. Let it drive you to God, who knows everything, who can be known. And so, though I don't know everything, God does. And I can rest in that. Can you rest in that? Or are you the type of person where I have to know every single thing, every answer? And if I don't know every answer, then I'm just going to be frustrated. I'm going to be bitter and mad. Are you the type of person where I'm going to strive to figure out stuff like Solomon? But you know, there's going to be at some point we're going to say, I don't know. And that's okay. I can trust God because he knows. And I can trust that he has given me the things that I need to know. Do you realize that? There are secret things that belong to the Lord. They don't belong to us. But the things revealed belong to us. And so there's things that I don't know, and the things that I can't know, and that's okay, and I can trust the God who is known. And so this passage shows us there's a lot of puzzling things in life, but it also shows us what do we do in light of them. And so the big idea this morning is, in the perplexities of life, let's fall back upon what we know and what we should do. You know, there are things that do perplex us in this life. And one of the prime ones is, why are the wicked prospering Why are they praised? Because we know this is not the way it should be. And that can be perplexing to us. They seem to just get away with wickedness. They receive what the righteous person should. And this is a big question that many unbelievers have, is how is there a good God with so much wickedness? And so Solomon is saying, I've seen it. I see this happening. On the other hand, we see righteous people and godly people put down and treated with contempt, even though they're doing what God has called them to do. They're living faithfully. And yet so many are dishonoring them and so many are putting them down. And we're like, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Doesn't God reign? And so we have these perplexing thoughts. There are many things that we cannot know. We can't see behind the scenes of the universe. We can't see the full picture. Our sight and our knowledge are limited. We don't know everything that God is up to. Right? We just see things and we know what God has said, but we see things but we don't see everything. So amidst all of these perplexing things, what are we to do? Like when you feel this being baffled, being confused, being a little bit frustrated, like why is this acting like this? This isn't how things should be. What do we do when we see these? What should we do? We are to fall back upon what we know. And we should fall back upon what we know we should do. There are things we do know. Let's hold on to them. Let's trust those things. Let's thank God that He has given us even these things in grace so that we can know Him, so that we can live a godly life for Him in His glory. Because the truth is, sometimes we stress over what we don't know when we should be prioritizing the things that we do know. What if you remind yourself this? It's more important that I believe God's revealed word than it is for me to figure out everything in the universe. Than it is for me to figure out every mystery. To solve every question, it's more important that I know what God has said. Because those are the things I can know. Those are the things I can know for certain. The things that God has said. And so don't let what you see wreck your world. But like Solomon, say, I see this happening, but this I know. What a big difference it would make in your life if you say, I see this, but Lord, you said this. This I know. What if you faced every circumstance that way? No matter how bleak looking or confusing, with a reliance upon the revealed word of God. And so though you see all of these things that should not be happening, that are not good, you know what you're to do. So even though I see the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer, I know what I should be doing. I shouldn't be letting that sight, throw me off. I know, even amidst what I see, the injustices and all of that and the enigmas of all that I see, I know what I should do. I need to trust God. I need to do trust His word, and I need to enjoy the gifts that He has given me. Trust God, trust His word, do the things He has given to you, and enjoy what He has given. Because we are responsible for that. We are responsible for this. Whatever is written in God's word for life and godliness, we are responsible for that. We are not responsible to figure out every mystery of the universe, to solve every riddle. We aren't even to correct every wrong, because we can't. Now, we could pursue, but we can't correct every wrong and injustice in the whole world. We can't control life. And so it means I must leave it in God's hands. I'm responsible for what God has called me to be responsible for, and I need to trust the rest with God. You see, the Christian life is a lot of falling back upon what you know to be true, even amidst what you see. That when you're being faithful and you're doing what God has called you to do, you're being faithful, even amidst, why is this happening? Why is someone not responding well here? Why is someone doing this? Why is the situation going downhill? When I'm doing what God has said, and it can be baffling. And you say, this is what I see, but guess what? This is what I know. I know I'm to be faithful, and I'm going to leave the rest in God's hands. That's how we are to live. The cross is an excellent example of this. Because Jesus hung on the cross, and what did people see? What did it seem like? As he hung on that cross, it seemed like, it looked like defeat. It looked like it. If people saw, they probably thought Satan had won. But if only Jesus' disciples would have fallen back on what they heard and what they knew. Because Jesus kept telling them in his ministry that he would die and that he would rise again 3 days later. You see, instead of living by faith, they were living by sight, and they fled. Because amidst the Jesus hanging in agony on the cross, giving his final death, redemption was and victory were being accomplished. Amidst what they saw, there was something that was happening. God was at work. In your hard, difficult, messy situations, do not put too much weight into what you see. Put it into what you know from God's word. This is what I know to be true. So even though I may see all this, this is what I know. Though you might feel like a failure due to your circumstances that you see, you can know I'm not a failure in God's eyes if I'm in Christ. Though we may see many people walk away, we know that God will have a people who will love him and serve him. Though you see situations that seem to go awry and seem to go downhill, you can know that God calls you to be faithful, and that if you're faithful, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. What truth do you need to trust which seems contrary to what you see? Maybe you need to start saying, Lord, this is what I see right now. And admit that to the Lord. Be like Psalm and admit that. This is what I see, Lord. I see the wicked getting away. I see the righteous suffer. I see the situation going awry. I see, you know, me just trying to be faithful here. This is what I see, Lord. But I know, Lord, you have said this. Lord, you have said this. Help me to trust it. Help me to trust it. And that's how we are to live in this world, is often perplexing. Let's pray. Good and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look around, as we see around us in this world, we see a lot of things. Lord, we see a lot of injustices. We see a lot of confusing things. Lord, we see a lot of bleak-looking circumstances. But Lord, help us to remember and fall upon what you have said, what we know to be true from your word. Help us to know that this right now is not the end of the story, but you are not done. You are working your glorious redemptive plan in Christ, and how he came and he did a central important part of dying on the cross and rising again. But Lord, you still have a plan that you will culminate in the Christ's return, and how you will make all things right. And so we can trust you, and we can trust that if we're on your side, then what do we have to fear, Lord? And so help us amidst this hard life, Lord. There's so many situations that we see. Help us to know and believe what is true. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.